Could you open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, and that's where we're going to land with the text today. And we're going to talk about what God has to say to us through this morning. So I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for being present. I'm always surprised and delighted that you consider me someone you can use. And I'm always delighted that you call your people together, because we're just that, we're people. And so, Spirit of the Living God, teach us today, remind us of how deep your love is for us. Encourage us through this, your word. Build us up and lead us forward, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, in the wake of the federal election, there are all kinds of feelings across the country. I've noticed friends on Facebook saying, I'm quitting Facebook because I just can't stand all of the acrimony or the nastiness back and forth. And sometimes from people claiming to follow Christ, you know, just cutting each other apart in the wake of this. And of course, there are all kinds of feelings ranging from elation to disappointment. There are concerns. Some people are concerned about their jobs. It's a big thing. And so on. So I'd like to remind you of something that you may have heard before. It was spoken by John Wesley, a Methodist, a British preacher, a couple centuries ago. And he said, I met those in our society, and he met their group, who had votes in the ensuing election, and advised them, one, to vote without fee or reward for the person they judged most worthy. Two, to speak no evil of the person they voted against. How you doing with that? And three, to take care their spirits were not sharpened against the person that voted on the other side. So I have brothers and sisters in Christ who are on the left, in the center, on the right. All of them devoted to Jesus Christ. And it should concern us if we start thinking that our political party, whatever it is going to save us. Because politics don't save us. It should also concern us that in our recent election, morals and ethics seem to play a very small role. What is often called progressive is really morally regressive. Liberalism won't save us. Conservatism won't save us. Horrendous things have been done to people in history in the name of conservatism, right, or liberalism, what's now become left. No, politics won't save us. Our country needs people, particularly leaders, who will step up and model and teach and use this principle in decisions, and that is simply treating other people like you'd like to be treated. And that's where you and I come in. Even though we are rightly to address and be involved in the political dialogue, because that's part of being a citizen in a democracy, and in Christ I believe we have a responsibility to give voice to things and enter in. At the same time, the bottom line for us is we are called to something different, something even higher and greater than this, and that's what this passage is going to focus us onto this morning. God chose us for a purpose that goes above and beyond political awareness. And the Apostle Paul, to the Holy Spirit's guidance, has been drawing a picture of the foundation of our faith here in Ephesians 1. And we've read how he is accomplishing his purpose through his people. And I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we could praise and glorify him. God's purpose, first of all, is bigger than people. God's purpose is bigger than people. The Jews had for thousands of years expected Christ to come. And the Gentiles had not. They didn't have that to look forward to. So the Jews were the first to hope in Christ. They were expecting a Messiah. But the point is, your background does not define your purpose. Where you're coming from this morning, your heritage, your background doesn't define your purpose. Paul wrote, God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. God hadn't chosen Israel because they were Israel. He chosen them to reveal his glory. He says in the Old Testament to the prophets, I chose you because you were weak and small. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21, God says, I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. God's purpose is bigger than people. And Jesus revealed at one point that God brings salvation through Israel to the Jewish people. He was sitting by a well, you know the story, in the region of Samaria. And it was a region of people who were a mixed race of Jewish background and Gentile background. And they had kind of a syncretistic or hodgepodge spirituality, a little bit of everything. Kind of like a lot of spirituality in the world today. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, whatever feels good. I'm going to adopt that and kind of make my own religious expression. And that was maybe a little bit what it was like in Samaria. So he's sitting by this well. A Samaritan woman comes to him and he needs a drink of water. And she is shocked that he would even speak to her because he's a Jewish man. She's a Samaritan woman. They would have nothing to do with each other in their cultures. A Jewish man would typically skirt around Samaria rather than going through it. But here he was, an obvious Jewish teacher. And eventually Jesus explains to her, you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. And she said, I know that Messiah, the one who is called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And he replied, I am the Messiah. The story is in John 4, verses 24 and following. So salvation, Jesus illustrates here, and not only illustrates, but depicts with his own life, has come through the Jews, through him, this man. I had a friend years ago say, why a Jewish guy? Is grappling with this whole thing of what's the gospel about? Why a Jewish guy? Well, God sent through the Jewish people his Messiah, Christ, and the Jewish people then, many of them, were the first to put their hope or their faith in Christ. And then Paul wrote, and now you Gentiles, that's you and me mostly, folks, we have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And so the Gentiles now are included through faith in Christ, and there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God, because there's only one entry point, and that's through Jesus Christ himself. It's not through a particular denomination, particular church, or a particular set of rites. It's through Christ and Christ alone. And so trusting the good news ignites your purpose. Trusting the good news of Christ ignites your purpose. He says, you've heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. I just saw this the other day, just a couple days ago, and it's an interview with Patricia Heaton. You may know of her. She's an actor that acted on Everybody Loves Raymond and The Middle, and now she's in a new series. And she talks about how this is on the Stephen Colbert show, late night, how she was struggling in her career and getting nowhere. And then she went to L.A. and she went with this church group on a mission. And she came back with such peace, knowing that things had shifted for her. And her life was, her focus was back on the right priorities of God first. And she said, I wasn't doing that. And I thank God was withholding that until I made sure that he was the center of my life and not the career. You can't rely on those things because they don't last. You have to know that the purpose of your life is glorifying God with your life, not glorifying yourself with your career. Not a bad testimony on late night TV. Glorifying God with your life, not glorifying yourself with your career. And so that's really the point Paul is making here when he talks about trusting God and how that brought the Gentile people also into God's purpose when they believed. Because the good news has power. Power. The Bible has this wonderful statement. You know it. It's in Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. A few sentences later, he says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. So the truth here has a specific definition in Ephesians 1. It defines, the truth is defined by the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. The evangel, it's called in the original language. And so that's what evangelism means, just declaring that Jesus is Lord. And James picked up this theme and he wrote in James 1:18, he, the God, God our Father, chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. So, no matter the background, no matter the past, no matter the history, no matter what baggage you might carry in your life, he's saying, you're in through Jesus Christ. You belong. You're part of the purpose of God, bringing God glory through hope in Christ. And so Paul wrote to the Galatian Christians who had come to Christ, who had unity in Christ. He says this in Galatians 3:28. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, NDP or conservative, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Think about this. He has said, the Bible has said, we're his prized possessions. How many of you woke up this morning feeling, I'm a prized possession? But don't worry about what you felt. Feelings can be pretty misleading, deceiving either way, good or bad. But here's the truth. And he says, there are no barriers now between God and us because your background doesn't determine your place in the kingdom of God. I remember the words of friends who occasionally say, you know, if I came to your church, the place would burn down. And no, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If someone says that to you, quote them that verse because that's the beautiful truth. The good news is that God saves those who believe, as it says in the word believe here, or trust can be translated faith or hope. It's a deep kind of hope, and it's in the perfect tense in Greek, which means that the effect of it goes on and on and on. It never stops. And so we have this hope, this faith in Christ. It's a present certainty about a future certainty. And we hold on to this current reality, whether it's a stormy time in our lives or a calm time. As Penny illustrated with her moment of majesty, be still, know that I am God. I've got this. God chose you, friend, for his glory. God chose you for his glory. Last week we talked about this a bit. We said God chose you for a reason. And these verses take this a little deeper. God chose you for his glory. Can we say together, God chose me for his glory. God chose me for his glory. He chose you for his glory. So he takes us up into his purpose, which is to bring him glory. God's purpose is bigger than people. Your background doesn't define or limit your purpose. Trusting the good news ignites your purpose. And all this is to say that God did not send Christ into the world to us, and that's the climax of the story. No, the climax of the story of the good news is that God sent Christ in order to lift you up into his purpose, which is to glorify him. And so we have those days where we don't feel like it. We don't feel that good because we still live in the world, right? And the world isn't always very friendly to faith. And internally, I don't know about you, yes I do. Internally, we have our own stuff that isn't always very friendly to truth or to faith. We still have vestiges of brokenness in us, though we're saved, we're set apart, we're holy. We're still in this world, we're still being sanctified or made holy, as the Bible teaches. And in all of that, then, we are in this journey of learning to bring glory to God. He takes us up to his purpose, which is to glorify him. History is not ultimately about humanity. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about his glory. And so he has brought us into his kingdom, into his family, to bring himself glory. Our stated mission is being Christ's presence. That is just living, seeking to show the glory of God. And our goal is each one shepherd one. So we might say, so how do we do this then? What's this have to do with my life today in glory? Well, here's one idea. I'll submit this to you. I think this is important. It could be that you just ask a friend of yours in the community this question. Simply this. What do you think people in our community need? What do you think, ask your friend this, what do you think people in our community need? Our church is asking this question. What do you think people in our community need? Our church is thinking about this. They might say, I have no idea. Or they might say, well, you know, there's this need. And if that's as far as the conversation goes, that's successful. That's good. By the way, if you hear from people, let us know. Because if there's a common theme and somehow it matches with something God has given us, maybe we can collectively meet that. Or maybe you just address that need. But it might lead to another question, and that is, why do you care? And that's where you just tell your story of faith. Like Patricia Heaton did. Just your story. And that might be the end of it, and that's successful. And then it might go to another level where they say, what do you mean? And that's where you might share, well, here's this little card that talks about an invitation to faith. Here's essentially what we believe. We have those up here and at the back. Or you might just bring some scripture. All have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then you could go on to say, God, it says, demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how does it go in Romans 10, 9 and 10? For I always mix these up. It's with the mouth you confess Jesus is Lord, and with your heart you believe. See, I just messed it up. So look it up, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And those are just passages from Romans. But however you do it, maybe there's an opportunity to just engage in a conversation that says, here's what we believe. Ask the question. Just start with the question. What do you think? What do you think people's needs are in our community? Because sometimes, while I do believe that culture is abandoning faith, I also believe sometimes the church, I say this respectfully, big C church, not just us, the church abandons the world. And we get kind of inward. And we need to go outward and say, what's the need here? And how do we bring Christ's presence to this need? God chose you for his glory. Can you say that with me? God chose me for his glory. And God personally guarantees his purpose. We have slides for these. Are they working up there? Yeah, we had a little technical difficulty today. God personally guarantees his purpose. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. He gives his Spirit to all who believe in Christ. There are examples in the New Testament of people who have come to Christ, and therefore the Spirit has come into their lives, and yet they're filled with the Spirit again and again. And so we keep coming to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord, and saying, fill me again for today. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul would write this: don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Greek tense is present, therefore it means continually. And so we are to be led by, immersed in, just under the influence of, cooperating with the leading of God's Spirit as he prompts. He might say, lay down your cell phone for a week, just listen. Or he might say, go and talk to your neighbor, just show them love. He might say, ask somebody what their needs are in our community. And Paul has pointed out here in verse 13 that the Holy Spirit was promised long ago. And there are places throughout the Old Testament where this is so. The most well-known probably is in Joel 2:28. Peter quoted this when he preached on the day that the Holy Spirit came to the church, to the believers in Jerusalem, on that Jewish celebration of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And Peter got up and preached and said, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. And so, friend, life in the Holy Spirit is not limited by your generation. Nobody can say, I'm too young for God to work in. I don't have enough experience. I used to think that there would come a day when this would become automatic. That living for Christ would be easy. You'd have it together. And I have to tell you, it doesn't happen. Well, there might be some stellar examples that you should follow, but I'm not one of them. It's a decision to follow Jesus. He works in us, yes. He does make some things easier. And there's never a day where you can say, well, I'm past my best before date. I'm just not going to serve anymore. Service might change, but there's no gender or generation that disqualifies you from serving. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men dream. Young men see visions. Life in the Holy Spirit generates service. John Ortberg gave the example of how he was running up a hill that he ran up frequently. He said it took 2 minutes and 20 seconds to get to the top of this hill. And one day, he said, as I ran, I just felt I couldn't do it. I wouldn't make it. And so I desperately began to just repeat this: I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Just that, one step at a time to the top. And he said, I was facing a conflicted situation at that time that required more wisdom and courage than I could muster. And when I got to the top of the hill, the thought came, just as I received the power to go up the hill, I will receive the power to face the conflict. And the flow of the Spirit came in a running prayer. You see, this matter of living the glory of God, we might say, well, how does that happen? Does that get easy? No, not necessarily, because we live in our world that's got its flaws. We have ours, at least I do. And so day by day, this takes mental and emotional and spiritual energy, decisiveness to follow Christ. It takes decisions. How are you going to deal with that anger that wells up? How are you going to deal with that greed? that lust. How are you going to deal with that? By saying, yes, Holy Spirit, Jesus is Lord. And so day by day, moment by moment, step by step, we walk in the Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? Emotion might be good for a while and might help you, but it can also mislead us terribly. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit today? Our natural abilities, even our spiritual gifts, are wonderful and make a difference. But left just to ourselves, this can just become a competition with each other. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? God chose you for His glory. His Spirit is His guarantee. And the Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. The Spirit is God's guarantee of belonging. We are His inheritance now. The Greek word translated guarantee or seal, scholars tell us, has three parts to it. It means a finished transaction. It also means ownership, and it means security. It's like a deposit. It meant something you would put down on a property, perhaps, guaranteeing you would pay the whole amount. So God has given us the Holy Spirit as this guarantee, this deposit. And the Holy Spirit so intensely dwells in you and claims you exclusively that Paul would write this in Ephesians 4, 30 and 32. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own. He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. The Holy Spirit has an exclusive claim on us because God chose us for His glory. And the Spirit of God lives in you to be Christ's presence in this world. God chose you for His glory. And He guarantees God's purpose in your life, bringing glory to God. The Holy Spirit's presence is the assurance that someday we will experience all the glory of heaven. But we have this current certainty about a future certainty. The Spirit of God within us. And you have two audiences for this glory. There are two audiences watching. The first one is unseen. Ephesians 3:10 says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church, the people. The church we know is the people. God's purpose in all this was to use the church, the people, to display His wisdom in all its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. There's an audience. And the other audience is visible. Jesus told His followers, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Matthew 5:16. The other audience, the one you'll see today, the one that's right here with you, the one you'll see tomorrow and throughout the week, that audience where God chose you for His glory. God's purpose is bigger than people. Your background doesn't limit your purpose, but faith in Christ ignites it. God has reached into you through Christ to bring you into His purpose, His glory. And He gives His Spirit to all who believe in Him. And His Spirit guarantees belonging and purpose. God chose you for His glory. For His glory. Brian Chappell talks about two contrasting photographs he saw on the cover of the newspaper one day. One large photo revealed world leaders gathering together. Pomp and ceremony, limousines lined up, flags of the nations on display. It was glorious, in a sense. And the next photograph on the cover of the paper depicted a mother kissing her baby. Not particularly unusual. We might not say glorious. It had fewer words under it, but the caption simply said, "She is the first mom of the nation to adopt a baby infected with AIDS." And Chapel asks the question, which of these, I wondered, depicted most the glory of God? And I suppose you could argue for either way, but my vote would be for the latter, where God, in his deep love for people, brings us into his purpose, glorifying him in all that we do, being his presence. God chose you for his glory. So what do we do? Show and tell. Show and tell. Maybe ask the question of someone. Keep it in mind. What needs do you see that people have in our community, our church is asking? And see where it goes. Show, then tell. God chose you for his glory. Worship team, would you come please and help us? Help us bring glory to God as we draw this to a close and as we respond. And as they're coming, would you just pray with me? And we often say, would you bow and close your eyes? I haven't found a verse that says do that. So you don't have to. In fact, some research says that we didn't start closing our eyes to pray until sometime in maybe the 1800s when we were trying to get Sunday school kids to behave. So I don't care if you close your eyes because it doesn't matter. What matters is your heart before God. And so we just say, Lord Jesus, please, please continue to lead us. Reveal your truth to us through this. I thank you that you have personally guaranteed your purpose, giving your Holy Spirit to us. And so help us to live for him exclusively and follow his lead and be faithful to your word. And lead us now as we respond with this song in Jesus' name. I'd like to ask the elders and prayer ministry team members to be available for prayer. If you want prayer for anything, they're here to serve you. You could come during this song or after the service, and they would be privileged to pray with you and for you.